Text Ryan now.
51552.
Tubridy on 2FM.
Welcome back to 10:25 now. Maya Dunphy, good morning.
Good morning, how are you?
It's been a while.
I missed you.
I missed you too, but don't tell anyone. The dress is beautiful.
You said I've missed you whilst looking away, which means you didn't at all.
No, I was trying to look at the Curse of the Crying Boy.
Okay. Oh no, don't, that's really creepy.
Your dress is gorgeous, by the way. I just want to get that out there. It's really summery. It's kind of like daisies on it. I love that. Love that. There's nothing wrong with what you're wearing. Nothing.
What?
Unqualified
nothing.
Compliment. Take it. Take it. Take it. Take it, because
okay,
I'll change my
thank
mind.
Thank you very much.
Okay, The Curse of the Crying Boy. Could a kitsch print bring fiery disaster to its owners, is the question. Ancient curses.
Have you heard of this story?
Never. It appeared out of the blue one morning in 1985. The Sun at that time, the most popular tabloid paper in the English-speaking world, blah, 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 published within the headline, Blazing Curse of the Crying Boy.
There are those ridiculous over-the-top pictures. Jack was showing me outside. A lot of kind of skateboarders have them. They're the big faces of
the crying boy,
chubby babies crying.
Okay, well, we have something on it. We'll talk about it in a second. Ryan, are you familiar with the painting of the boy, of the crying child? Well, if you Google it, you'll read that it is a cursed. It is cursed. A fireman said that in many burnt out houses, the painting is the only thing that survived. Since then, people have successfully tried to burn the picture. The question remains: is the child crying for himself or for the family who live in the house?
So ludicrous. Yeah, you know those pictures, the over-the-top pictures of the crying child. Like, it's not sinister. It's sort of a big, chubby 70s baby with Starsky and Hutch hair.
All right, okay.
And apparently people who have them in their houses burn down. Or their rice burns. That's the first.
Where did they get the picture?
They buy it and they put it up like a print, I presume.
Oh, it's a print. It's a kind of it's a kitsch print, is the thing.
Kitsch print.
Tell Audrea.
I don't think it's any truth in it, though.
No, I'm not buying it. Tell Audrea that's in any sense. That's her story is the plot of the first Insidious film. Reading the back of a DVD is not a ghost story.
Okay. Was that about the ghost lying on someone in bed?
Yeah.
The night, which is a night terror.
That's it. But she's quite convinced it's the spirit who looks like the Sandyman port bottle guy. That's what she said. But without the hat.
That is brilliant.
Where's his hat?
That happened to me once, and it is absolutely terrifying. And it does feel like someone's lying on your chest.
All right, you had night terror.
And it even feels like the duvet is being pressed into your skin. Ooh. That's what's so scary, because you think, I'm not just not moving. I can feel the sheets pressing into me. But then I Googled it, and it's perfectly normal. Like, your brain has woken up before the rest of you has.
So the brain is
mine was Bertie Bassett, the licorice man.
Yeah.
Yeah, mine was him.
That doesn't surprise me for one second. Like, I'm not even raising an eyebrow at it. But that makes perfect sense. Of course it was.
Brand characters are notorious for haunting people's houses.
I wish I was haunt. Which brand?
Wait, Mr. Tato. I'd like Mr. Tato.
I tell you who I wouldn't like.
Who?
Ronald McDonald.
Oh God, no. Or Colonel Saunders.
Not a colonel.
He's not going.
Did I tell you that I went to the museum?
He has no army qualifications whatsoever.
He doesn't. He was an honorary. I'll tell you how I know this. I went to the KFC museum in Louisville, Kentucky, when I was.
Why would you have thought he was qualified?
I'll tell you what. I went to, because I presume
the Saw doctors aren't qualified doctors. Feelgood is not a qualified surgeon anyway.
Dr. Teeth in the Muppet Show is a qualified medical doctor.
Really? Dr. Alban is a qualified dentist.
Professor Green has never read a book. Okay.
Yes.
Colonel Mustard saw some action in Flanders Fields.
When we were doing the Zig Zag radio show, Zig said, "Here, whatever happened to me?" We were playing a game called Number Twos. Which is
of course you
were. Twos. And Zig said, "What about Dr. Alban?" Which, whatever his big song of the 90s
one
was.
What was it? Jackal, not that. Dr. Alban.
So we... it's my life.
It's my life. Party. I'm going to muckle.
Zig says, "Can we get Dr. Alban on the phone and find out if he is a qualified doctor?" And with one phone call, I got his home number.
You're
and we rang him. He's like, "Hello, so would that be Dr. Alban?" He went, "Yes."
Is there a doctor in the house?
And he spoke to us. He was lovely, quite serious because he's Scandinavian. And he said, "Yes, I am actually a qualified dentist, and I decided this is my just generic random Scandinavian." Yeah, he's a qualified dentist, and he's living in Sweden now, I think. But it was brilliant. Don't try and get his number and ring him. He is a qualified dentist.
You were very dismissive of Scandinavians as being humorless there.
No.
Do we know any funny Scandinavians?
But you know what? What they lack in humour, they make up for in beauty. Look at those women.
And I'd say the others
as well. They're so beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah, Scandinavian men. See, there's a few.
The women are extraordinary looking.
They're beautiful. So you know what? We can't have everything.
No, you can't. you might look like an ice queen from a Hitchcock movie.
Uncanny Valley. A lot of the Scandinavian men have that Uncanny Valley thing. Like, they've been you know, guess who characters.
Superimposed. They're all kind of had
I've used that phrase a lot over the last year. Uncanny Valley. Because it also applies, I think, to women and men, but unfortunately more women seem to go down this route, who've had plastic surgery. You know, the and that creates the same effect. And last year, the show I was doing about aging and cosmetic surgery, a lot of women, you look at them and they say, oh, I've had no work done. You think there's something not right about your face. And that is the uncanny valley. Because if you, I love bigger lips, but if I got bigger lips, it would damage the ratio between your whole face is, it's already, you know, the ratios are in place to make you look normal.
Yeah.
So if you change those ratios, you end up with the uncanny valley.
Because it's out of step with what should be.
Yeah.
Okay. We're here today to talk about, among other things, like Cheryl Cole. I was commenting during the week that, you know, it's actually was something in the mail. Somebody was saying, you know, he's a playboy, he's a messer, he loves the birds, and now Cheryl's got engaged to him. What could possibly go wrong?
Well, at the same time, he was a playboy in his early 20s in college. He's from some wealthy family. That's his past.
Oh, did he go to the leopard shop and get his spots changed? Did he?
He did, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Come on, Maya.
He skinned himself.
Self-flayed.
Yeah, and he got a coat made from a different animal.
Silence of the leopards.
Which does not have spots. You know what? This is what and I don't like commenting on showbiz stories, and we're not commenting on a showbiz story. We're taking it somewhere else. But she seems like a sweet girl, Cheryl. And why does she keep making these mistakes?
And
we were talking about it on Twitter, and it was 50-50 with people saying, look, when you know, you just know. 3 days or 3 years, when you know, you know. And I said, but that's all the more reason to wait. Because if you're absolutely sure, unless it was 1950 and you're pregnant and you absolutely have to get married. What was that phrase? That marriage is a sacred union between a man and a pregnant woman. And that was actually from a long time ago.
That's good, though.
But why, like, why, what's the rush? If I know that I really, really want to marry you, why do it tomorrow? Why not say, well, look, we'll do it in 6 months or in a year. We can save up money. The thing is,
how long is she going out with this guy?
3 months.
And they're getting married?
They're married.
Oh, so they got married?
They got married last week in secret on this lovely Paradise Island. And, you know, she was saying, when you know, you know.
Well, I think some people are, you know, it's whatever monogamy, some people are can't handle not being in a relationship under any circumstances, so that when they get into one, they want to get married immediately.
But even that's okay if you want to, if you're constantly in a relationship. And I have lots
Kelly
of friends
Brooke.
Who've done that. I know.
She's constantly getting engaged to former gladiators.
She bought her own engagement ring.
She is the subject of many men's fantasies.
Is she? I hadn't noticed. Is she attractive?
Well, she has her attributes.
She's impossibly beautiful. But she bought her own engagement ring, but she's marrying a guy who looks like a phone box. He's just...
Phone box with eyes.
He does look like a phone box.
He's like... He's a TARDIS, is he?
Have you seen him?
No, I haven't. Sure, they all look the same.
Yeah,
just fill in face here.
No, I know, we don't. But anyway, at least she hasn't married him yet. But Cheryl has married this guy. And my point
she's probably
is...
probably eaten the wedding cake that she made herself.
Cheryl?
No.
Oh, Kelly.
She's sitting in the kitchen crying into her wedding cake that she made herself this morning going, please ask me. I've got
the
ring.
That's so sad. That is... Anyway, getting back to Cheryl. My argument is that 3 months in, you're still at the... nobody fart stage. I don't have bodily functions. Oh, you know, I always have eyelashes that go up to my eyebrows.
Yeah.
Now, not all girls do that, but there is. So this today we're talking about the stages of relationships, and that 3 month, and I actually researched it, and it goes between some counsellors and psychologists say that there's between 3 and 10 stages. I just rounded it up to 4 because there's 4 that I would recognise amongst friends and peers and.
Okay,
even
let's
parents
hear
and
them.
Things. So one is the rose-tinted spectacles.
And what are these? These are 4 stages
of relationships, sort of month to month. So the first one. So they go from when you first meet somebody, and the interesting thing about the rose-tinted spectacle stage is it can be anywhere from 2 months up to a year. Usually, the average is 3 to 6 months. So Cheryl is still at the beginning of the rose-tinted spectacle stage, and counsellors will say to you, "Don't make any drastic decisions at this point." And that might be getting married or starting a family, because they said you are not of sound mind. And when you fall
in
love,
that's probably true.
But when you fall in love, the chemicals released in your brain are actually similar to the ones released when you're on drugs. And there was a great quote from some relationship counsellor saying, the only difference between getting high and falling in love is that one of them is legal. But actually, you can't necessarily trust your judgment in those first early days of, you know, infatuation and sleeplessness and losing your appetite and just thinking about that person all day.
And the butterflies.
And it's oxytocin and dopamine and all these really cool chemicals.
You get a smell in studio, by the way, of some sort of...
brown rice.
No, there's some... It's like... You're not getting that, no?
I'm getting it slightly. I got it when I came
in. It's like steam or something.
Is it the aircon?
It must be the aircon. It's like being in a plane. You know that smell?
Yeah. It's not unpleasant. It's just like recycled air.
That's what it is. It's like recycled air. It's making its presence felt in the studio.
But it also smells like could be haunted.
What's the man?
I'm going to stop doing this. It's actually really bothering a lot of your listeners, I think, the ghost chat.
Where's the Sandyman Portman? Is he floating around here today? Okay, back to the story.
I saw the Michelin man outside. He's going to take us all out.
No, he works here.
Oh, right, sorry.
Now, let's talk about... he's soon to be taking leave.
Although, you know, I hope it's not me. I made the most delicious homemade pesto last night, and there was lots of garlic in it.
I shouldn't move in with Dave, the parent.
Maybe it's
between the rice and the homemade pesto and the cheese boards. Now,
what's wrong with the cheese boards?
Oh, enough already! What age are you?
Hang on a second.
Cheese boards are for our parents. They're for adults.
They're sophisticated people who like their food.
Damn, you're right.
Yeah. You wish you liked a cheese board. You're jealous of Dave.
I would love to order the cheese board.
You know, if in one of those really posh restaurants where the trolley comes along and you just select your own cheese, you'd be like, where are the easy singles? You wouldn't know how to pick a nice cheese.
On, don't knock the easy single. Now, you've stepped over the line.
The easy single is not easy.
Don't knock the...
In France, that would not be qualified as cheese.
I just want you to say...
A little bit like certain chocolates in Belgium would not be classified as chocolate.
Well, do you know what? I'm on a total buzz at the moment.
Don't hold chocolates. Your hands up in such an aggressive way going, hey, hey, no, hey.
Oh, wait a minute. Do you know what? I'm on a buzz. In the local shop, they have these things, or the super Quinn value thing. It's a cone of lint things and you put in 8 for £3. Have you seen those?
Yes.
And you can have
the
plain orange. Oh my God, that's my treat now these days.
They're delicious.
Oh, and I have about 3 of them. With tea or something.
I'm making a documentary about food and food fads and clean eating. And this gorgeous girl called Susan Jane White, who I thought might be kind of flaky.
She's
and
Trevor's
bohemian.
Mrs.
She's amazing. She's gorgeous and funny and is into this clean eating, but she's not remotely boring or dull with it.
Wow.
So she has this
Is
book,
she gluten-free?
I think for the most part, yeah.
Is she celiac?
No.
No. Has she got a nut allergy?
In her 20s, I think she ate herself into illness.
In a good way.
She ate herself into hospital with chronic fatigue. So anyway, she discovered clean eating. The point is, she has this recipe for raw chocolate toffee stuff. And I thought, it's absolutely amazing. It's coconut oil and raw cocoa and tahini. And it's absolutely amazing.
I just want fudge.
My stepson ate it at the weekend and went, this is amazing. I love it.
And it was delicious. What was it? Toffee?
It's like a kind of clean eating toffee, so it's good for you, full of iron. Anyway, I'll bring
some
in for you.
Listen, anything that's good for you is generally boring. Now,
no,
Sabrina
this
is
isn't.
On the. No, I mean, everything in life that's good for you is generally quite boring.
You're right to a point, but this is the exception.
Rose tint, we've got to one phase
now. Sorry,
Time is running against it. Phase two.
Well, the point being that phase one, you should not make any important decisions in, which Cheryl has done. So, phase two, if we can compare falling in love to being like. A high, then phase two is the come down. Phase two is the hangover. So phase two is the back to earth stage when you realise, you know, all the things that you saw. For example, you go on a few dates and you think, we have so much in common. We order the same food and he has tea with milk in it as well. You think, yeah, that's just normal things. Oh, he's such a great sense of humour. Oh, she's so assertive. By this stage, it's like, she's so bossy. He always has to come in with a funny line. It's really annoying. So the sheen wears off and you start seeing people's faults, which is a really important part of a relationship because I never trust, you know, people who say, oh, we never argue.
Look at that. Look how great. Look how happy
look
she is to drop the coffee.
Look at the marriage glow off, G1.
Huh? How long did that glow, did your glow last, or your marriage
glow? She's still in phase one.
Oh, you still
one.
Have it?
Phase one.
She wouldn't think of looking at you. Do you hear what she said? Because she's practically married to me. She is. She sees more of me than she sees of her husband, the poor woman.
No, she's still in that phase
G1.
One.
Yeah, she is. You can see that. She's in the... What?
You're just so... Just
she's in the Bateau de Mor.
You're an odd little family. You
Be
really
sure.
Are.
Hey, Sabrina's on the line.
Oh.
Sabrina.
Hello.
How appropriate we have Sabrina, the teenage witch, to tell us this story. Sabrina, the 30-something witch, joining us live from Dublin City to tell us about the picture of the crying boy. Go.
About 3 years ago, a house 2 doors down from me, their kitchen went on fire and didn't really think anything of it at the time, you know. A few days after that, the house right next door to me, the fire in the sitting room, that kind of caught fire around that area. The fire brigade was called out both times. So about a week later, I went out to the shed and opened the door and I nearly died because of the picture of the crying boy was in the shed.
No.
Of the shed of the house that burnt down?
No, of my house.
Oh,
and I was saying, get rid of this. My husband has bought it off somebody selling paintings at the door.
But did the other houses have the crying child in them, Sabrina?
No, they didn't. They didn't have it. It was just my house and in the shed.
And did the woman who came to the door say, "Would you like to buy a painting? Or maybe a red apple, perhaps? Can I offer you either a red apple or a picture of a crying boy?
And when you
would
turned
you like
around,
either of these, Sabrina?"
She had disappeared and the painting was left.
Did she have warts on her nose?
But
was she followed by
worried?
Seven shifty looking little fellas dancing around? Did you ever feel grumpy?
It's a weird scary looking picture.
But like, Sabrina, why are you worried?
Look at the picture.
Why are you worried if your neighbour's houses that burnt down? Oh, that's quite creepy.
That's the crying
picture.
Boy.
But they didn't have the painting in it, so their houses weren't cursed.
Yeah, I see your point. Your picture's got nothing to do with it.
Because it was in the shed, I kind of felt, well, it's outside, it's not actually in the house.
But
so
why,
maybe it's working its way up or something
but
strange.
But also, why did he buy it in the first place? He's the kind of guy who'd swap a magic beans for... I'll have this magic beans.
Yeah, he thought it was a cute picture or something. And when I seen it, do you know who that is? That's the crying boy. That picture is corn.
How did you know about it, Sabrina?
I read it in a magazine, Take a Break or something, years ago. I read the story. And then I had a page on Facebook doing all... like scary stuff in it.
Now, Sabrina, go back to Take a Break. Go back to Take a Break.
Take a Break, one of the finest publications out there.
You're reading Take a Break, right?
Yeah.
And you're looking at the story of the picture with the boy.
Yeah, the crying boy. And they were talking about...
Tell me about it.
Every house that had a copy of this painting in the house, it went on fire. And everything burns down except for this picture.
Now, when your husband came in with the picture... Did you know about the picture in advance?
I actually didn't. I knew about it, but I didn't know he bought it. He bought it when I was up visiting my parents for the weekend. I didn't even know that it was in the shed.
So when he... Oh, so you didn't even know he'd bought it and put it in the shed or anything?
No.
So what did you do with the picture?
I don't know what he's doing, but he got rid of it anyway.
He got rid of it.
He probably threw it in the bin and dumped it, yeah.
And if somebody came to you with a picture of the crying boy and said, "Hi, Sabrina, I just got you a little present," what would you do with it?
I think I'd get rid of his born and get it out.
It's also a really...
I just heard too many stories. There's loads of stories all over the internet.
It's also not a nice picture, though.
I wouldn't take a chance.
You wouldn't take
it? It's an awful picture.
No, but that doesn't matter.
Why would you want that?
People like strange things in the world. I like strange things.
They like... There's two different boys and then there's a girl as well.
I see them all here. I'm online. I'm looking at them. Yeah. There's one boy looking at you. Looks like a kind of street urchin. He's looking at you. He looks very upset.
That's the one that we had. Orchard, that's the one that we had.
In folk belief, the notion that a picture falling from a wall is an omen of impending, that blah blah blah. Who is this? Well, there's a few boys, but who are these crying boys? And why a crying boy? I need to know a little bit more. Tears for Fears, the portrait that firemen claim is cursed. The firemen concerned had not actually used the word curse, but nevertheless, the newspaper report had helped to give the story a certain level of credibility. An estimated 50,000 crying boy prints signed G. Bragolin or Bragolin had been sold in branches of British department stores, particularly the working class areas of northern England. Examples could be seen hanging in the front rooms of family homes across the nation.
What's it meant to symbolise?
I don't know.
We should try and find out who the boy is.
1985 was the first crying boy story from the Sun. The curse seemed to return in March 1992, this time in a housing estate in Middlesbrough, when this woman got a crying boy painting by her aunt, was given to her, and the day after hanging it, suffered three fires in the estate. Well, now, curious. Yeah, in the estate.
Yeah, so not just in the house, like with mine.
Is your shed still standing?
Yeah.
Are you still standing, Sabrina? A text says we had a crying boy picture and the house two doors down from us burnt down too.
So maybe it's not your house because Sabrina's neighbour's house is burnt.
So anyone who has a crying boy painting need to call up to the house two doors up and say, "Listen, I've got some news for you.
It's not good. It's a portrait voodoo thing, isn't it?
Get a sprinkler system in." Okay. Sabrina, thank you for sharing that.
No problem at all.
Bye, Sabrina.
Stage three.
But a friend of mine whose kitchen burnt down, the only painting not damaged by smoke was a fake Graham Nuttall. Genuinely.
Now that's a curse.
Yeah.
Okay, let's have a look at your stage three.
Are we allowed to go back to this? Okay, so stage two is when you focus on the differences, which is okay. But if the trouble with this point is a lot of people don't get past this stage. So you might think it kind of kicks in after about a year and can last another year, but it can last a long time. And there's a couple who I know not terribly well who just separated after 15 years of marriage, and we've all kind of said they never got past this stage.
Which was the hard
work
bit.
The kind of bickering bit of, well, you know what, he does this and she does that, and why do you have to get up so early and why do you have to do this? But if you don't accept those differences and move on, you will never leave this phase. And if you don't leave this phase, it ain't good.
But if you do break on through to the other side.
Phase three, which is the hard work stage. It again sounds awful, but the point is, this is when you've accepted all the differences and you learn to love that person. Regardless.
And stage
four? Which is actually really not...
We have to fast track.
Okay,
sorry.
Oh, this is awful.
We have to go.
Stage four is true romance or bliss stage, which you might not think, if you think about a couple who've been together a long, long time, you might not think of them as having this sort of undying passionate love, but they have a real commitment and a real friendship. People who've been together a long time, and it can kick in soon. It doesn't have to be 50 years of marriage, but it's people who, they love the person, they accept all their flaws, they've stopped trying to change them. And they don't have pictures of crying boys in their sheds or houses.
Quick question before I go. Is Michael McIntyre funny?
No.
51552 is the text
Can
number.
I tell you the problem with Michael McIntyre?
Yeah.
He wouldn't be my cup on tea.
He's a lot of people's cup on tea.
Yeah, he's... I think the thing is that he's not a comics comic. And a lot of comedians, they... he's a very bright man, he's done very well, he has struck a chord with people.
But
it's a
very
snobbery
middle class within
humor.
Is there a snobbery within
do you know what comics don't like when you call it a snobbery? They just say, because a lot of people think, oh well, you're resentful because he's now making £2 million a year and you know you're still doing the small clubs in Edinburgh. But it's all about integrity with comics, and they don't kind of value what he does. And from a few I've spoken
that's a considered response. I'm just curious because I don't know what to make of him, to be honest with you.
I don't particularly like his sense of humour, but that's just me.
That's just you. Easy singles are known as rubber cheese in my house. Rotten stuff. No, here, listen, I'm hardly sitting at home eating sleazy singles. But
I bet you are.
On a burger, a barbecued burger, I'd definitely put one on and watch it melt.
No, what you want is a really nice sliver of expensive blue cheese.
I kind of fancy Eddie Rockets now.
Do you?
Today, yeah.
I went to Eddie Rockets a few weeks ago for the first time in years. And you know what?
It's really good.
Yeah.
It's really good.
It was really good.
First time I broke wind in bed, says a text from my new boyfriend, I was mortified. He said, did you shoot a bunny, honey? That was the moment we moved to a new phase in our relationship.
Oh, so he can be quite sweet. I bet you
like
Cheryl,
Tarantino
her name is now Cheryl Fernandez Versini, apparently.
Good luck with that. It is for the next 2 months.
I bet she hasn't cut the mustard yet.
I would imagine.
Couper le moutard.
Couper le moutard.
As you would say in French, because her new husband is French.
Of course.
Come on, that's quite impressive, saying cut the mustard.
It's not bad at all.
Give me some credit.
I'll give you the credit as I say goodbye. Thank you.
That was great.
Get out of here.